I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, have you ever become so angry or threatened that you've exploded? Like, literally exploded?
No.
Okay. But you've seen it before, at least in cartoons.
I've seen it a lot in cartoons, and because my daughter plays Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah.
And especially the Star Wars versions of it, I'm very aware of one character called Bomb. And when enraged, the feather on top of its head will start to smoke.
Oh.
And then it'll just detonate.
Wow.
And yeah, it's this glorious explosion.
You know, I hadn't really thought about video games as much going into this, but I guess there are a lot of exploding characters in games. Little bomb men, I seem to recall, and oh, of course, Bomberman. It's all about characters getting blown up. But yeah, there's a lot of exploding characters going on in your cartoons, in your video games. One example that always comes to my mind in John Carpenter's 1986 film Big Trouble in Little China. There's a part when they have this warrior sorcerer named Thunder of the Three Storms, and he discovers that his evil master, Lopan, has been slain there in the caverns and chambers of his underground stronghold. And so he gets so mad that he just puffs up and just explodes with anger in an attempt, I guess, to take out invaders. But it's a, you know, it's a gory, kind of goofy moment, but it's actually a real thing.
It is a real thing, right? Because that was a fictional account, and yet in nature we have some very real instances of this happening, which kind of leads to that whole idea that the truth is truly stranger than fiction. And we've tread in this territory before, and I'm thinking about sea cucumbers, right? Because we've said that if you ever get in an undersea bar fight with a sea cucumber, beware, because you will probably have its guts pummeling your face because they're ejected from the sea cucumber's anus. And if you were to get in a fight with, say, hairy frog, the T. robustus, well, then watch out, because they can actually make shivs from their own bones, which they puncture their way out, those shivs, the bones, out of the frog's toe pads to create these claws.
Yeah, I mean, you see it just time and time again. Whatever the weird, grotesque body horror type thing is that we can dream up in our fictional world and our pop culture, nature has already evolved it to a terrifying degree, and indeed, that's what we see with autophysis, the biological act by which an animal, specifically an insect, ruptures their own internal glands and organs with enough force to cause their insides to literally burst out through their exoskeletons. It's a purely muscular exercise caused by deliberate contractions around engorged tissue.
And it creates absolute mayhem.
Yes.
Now, it's worth noting that insects that practice autophthisis do so out of something called eusocial organization. So this kind of organization is predicated on three things: brood, cooperation, overlapping generations within a colony of adults, and a division of labor into reproductive and non-reproductive groups. And so these set the conditions for this kind of self-sacrifice in the examples that we'll talk about today.
All right. Now, before we get into the exploding eusocial insects, I'm just going to talk quickly here about chemical weapons in animals, chemical weapons specifically insects in general. Now, number of animals out there use chemical weapons against their adversaries. And as we've discussed before, a lot of human chemical weapons, also human spices and other agents, are simply nature's chemical weapons that we've hijacked for our own ends. Some animals synthesize toxins, while others extract and modify toxins from their environment or their diet. So just looking at insects and arachnids, you know, obviously we have scorpions, we have spiders, we have wasps. But then we also have some stranger examples here and there, like foam grasshoppers that excrete foul bubbles from their armpits.
Yes.
and of course, we always have to mention the bombardier beetle. And this is the one that sprays a heated exploding acid from its anus, where it has two chemicals that is stored in separate chambers. Then it fires them into a reaction chamber. And then this is where you have enzymes breaking down H2O2, releasing free oxygen to oxygenate the chemicals, and it just creates this explosive, hot excretion, this beautiful chemical weapon to spray right in the face of an attacker. When we come to, it's in the social insects, the eusocial insects, this is where we see the evolution of far more sublime, far more terrifying weaponry.
Yeah, because foaming armpits, that is pretty great. But that's more of like a fireworks display, whereas the examples of autophthisis are more like the fireworks are the exploding of the oneself, right?
Yeah.
Offering of oneself as the fireworks display. So let's meet Borneo's Camponotus cylindricus. This is one of several ant species known as the kamikaze ants. And Jonathan Neal, an associate professor of entomology at Purdue University and author of the textbook Living with Insects, writes on his blog that, quote, when exposed to European ants in the lab, the exploding Camponotus ants would grasp the invader by the leg or the antenna, press its body to the head of the invader, and squeeze its abdomen until the abdomen ruptured, spilling glue over the eyes and mouth parts of the invader ant.
That is just utterly terrifying. Like, I think of any grotesque moment in a monster movie that I've seen, and I don't think anything comes close to that. Like, nothing. And I've applied some thought to this. Nobody has really, horror filmmakers out there look to the insect world, because there's some stuff here that just has not even been plunged.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of xenomorphs, or at least some scenes with xenomorphs, right? Because it's got the gluey kind of aspect to it. But let's discuss what it might be like to have this face full of yellow goo, which is the actual term, the scientific term, from the Camponotus, because it is chock-a-block with chemical irritants and strong adhesive. So it delivers this kind of 1-2 punch of chemistry and really stops the invading ants in its tracks, right? Because if your mouth is stuffed full of this glue, you're not going to be able, and your arms and your legs, or rather just legs, you're not going to be able to do much damage, right? You're going to pretty much freeze in your tracks.
Yeah, you've just been completely incapacitated by this noxious concoction.
Yeah. Now, the Camponotus, they are pretty touchy. They're known to self-detonate far from the colony, or when lightly touched with forceps in the lab.
Well, they're forceps. They probably look completely terrifying.
Some giant metal ant coming down at them, right?
Yeah, the end times.
End times, indeed. And researchers posit that the yellow goo initially help the ants break down the microbes and microbial byproducts they fed on, like from fungi, right? Mm-hmm. But then it evolved into this sort of exploding adaptation. And so if you look at the mandibular gland in these ants, which are commonly used for digestive enzymes in most ant species, you will see that it is greatly expanded in Camponotus. And the glands are so large that they actually extend into the abdominal cavity, pretty much filling it.
Yeah, I'm reminded a bit of our episode on the electric eel, in which you have tissue that evolved initially for one purpose, namely, you know, having to do with communication and sensing. And then as it becomes weaponized, it just fills up most of the fish.
Yeah, and you know, humans don't necessarily have this, although you can argue that some people's microbes, gut microbes, contribute to such a stench on the other end when releasing flatus that it could be a defense mechanism.
Like, yeah, yeah. And I guess you could also make an argument. It's kind of like the you have like somebody who's really into karate or something,
mm-hmm.
and like so their whole life becomes about like just honing their body and their behavior towards this one offensive defensive purpose. It's kind of like what we see on an evolutionary scale with some of these examples.
All right, let's explore termite world here. We are talking about some 4,000 termite species. And they exist on every continent except Antarctica. But scientists have identified only about half of the ones they think that are out there. And most of those species lack common names and little is really known about their biology or behavior. In fact, several years ago, DNA testing revealed that rather than belonging to their own order, termites should be classified as a cockroach family.
Huh. And that's interesting because I think most people tend to think of them sort of in the same camp as an ant, or at least very similar to the ant, you know, with this eurosocial setup, royalty in place, division of labor.
Right, indeed, the eusocial organization there. Now, Tracy V. Wilson, you may know her from Stuff You Missed in History Class. She actually has a great article called How Termites Work on HowStuffWorks.com, and she describes them thusly, quote, "In a lot of ways, termites are a paradox. They're strong enough to eat a house, but their bodies are soft, delicate, and prone to drying out. Soldiers, whose sole job is to defend the colony, can't even feed themselves. Adult termites develop wings so they can leave the colony and find a new home, helping the termite population grow. But winged termites are terrible flyers, and most don't survive the journey." And yet, they do, right? And
yeah.
And they do so as working as a cooperative unit. And they ensure that their nests are moist so that their bodies don't dry out. They build shelters, protection from the environment, including predators. And as they slowly and methodically carry back bits of waste and dirt to use as building materials, they munch on wood for sustenance. Hence a homeowner's terror at discovering that they've got termites in their midst.
Yeah, I highly recommend anyone interested in termites to read Tracy's article because it's a great How Stuff Works article. And it dives into the complex and really beautiful biology of these creatures that we so often are just dismissed as a mere pest. It's just like termites, don't want them, don't want to know about them. But they're really kind of lovely in their own way. I wish they wouldn't eat our houses, but they're pretty great.
Yes, they're lovely, but they're quite formidable. But it turns out that they can actually be pretty spectacular on an individual level as well.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed, because we do see termites that practice autothesis. Autothesis evolved independently, actually, in, of course, a number of species. And we can actually best fathom the evolutionary process by noting the varying levels of lethality and toxicity in the various examples. According to the journal Nature, some termites simply defecate on their enemies. All right, so it's just a matter of just poop on anything that's a threat to you and the family. But others adapted to shower their enemies with filth by squeezing their abdominal muscles till the excrement bursts out through thin portions of the abdominal wall. So the next level in pooping on your enemies, right? But the ultimate in this, the peak of the evolutionary mountain, as we thus far can grasp it, is the termite Neocapitermis terrachia. And terrachia stands at the forefront of the autothesis arms race. The species here, they grow abdominal sacs of toxic blue crystals grown throughout their lives, and these are the chemical weapons that they use to defend the colony.
That's right. They were discovered in 2012 in French Guiana, where researchers said, hey, what is that kind of blue sac there, and what is making it blue? And by the way, it is copper-rich proteins that give it that blue hue. And so what the researchers found is that the older the termite, the bigger this kind of backpack or rucksack that they carried on their backs of this blue crystal. And there's a reason for this, by the way, the older, the bigger, and we'll get into that. But let's talk about this sac, because these crystals are secreted by specialized glands located on top of the salivary glands. And so during aggressive encounters, the termite ruptures its body wall, releasing the contents of the blue pouch, which mixes with salivary fluid to form a chemical so toxic that it paralyzes or kills most of the invading termites that touch it. So it's so much more dramatic and effective than just pooping on your enemy, right? Because this is kind of like taking a stick of dynamite to a powder keg and saying, hey, take that.
Yeah. I mean, they just explode into blue toxic goo. I love it.
Yeah, in an interview with Nature, Olav Ruppel, an evolutionary biologist, says, the sophistication of this is remarkable. We have never seen an external pouch like this before that adds one substance that needs to be mixed with another substance.
Now, use the analogy of you know, just running out there and touching the fire to the dynamite. An explosive and dangerous task. So who do you give this task to, right? And that's the beauty of this. We mentioned the toxic blue crystal sacs, they grow throughout the creature's life. So by the time the termite is elderly, it has reached maximum blue crystal bloat, and at the same time, it's run out of other uses in the colony. Its mandibles are dull and useless. It's not going to be able to go out there and really get in a fight. It's not really going to be able to help out much working around the colony. Now it has one purpose, and that is to march out there with its bloated, overfilled sacks of explosive goo materials and to indeed explode.
Yes, that's right. And defend the colony, right? With this kind of suicidal rupturing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect, we often come back to just the inhuman beauty of the insect world, just completely devoid of most of our human qualities. There's a line in from Jeff Goldblum's character in The Fly where he talks about the absence of insect politics. You don't find politics in the insect world. You just find this brutal and just beautiful economy at play here, where in this case we have these old termites who have no other use but to go out there and explode, and they do it perfectly
to make sure the survival of the genetic packets are in place, right, for future generations.
Yeah, it's all about the greater good of the colony, not the individual.
Indeed.
Yeah, so we're gonna just talk about exploding toads a little bit. This is a slight deviation from the topic, but it's a tantalizing mystery that involves exploding animals. So I think it's totally open game. So back in 2005, what you had happen is that you had an exploding toad epidemic in northern Europe. More than 1,000 toad corpses were discovered in a pond in an upscale neighborhood of Hamburg, Germany, and over the border in Denmark. So everyone was curious, what's going on? Is this some disease of the toads that's causing them to explode? Is someone exploding our toads? What is happening?
Well, Frank Muchmann, a Berlin veterinarian who collected and tested specimens at the Hamburg pond, said that it appeared that clever crows had pecked into the toads with their beaks between the amphibian's chest and the abdominal cavity. And what happened is that the toad puffed itself up as a natural defense mechanism. But because these crows had, effectively removed the liver, there was a hole in the toad's body, and the blood vessels and the lungs burst, and then other organs oozed out.
Ah, so the toad puffs up as a defensive measure, but the crow just reaches in there, gets the part it wants, the nice juicy bit.
Like a game of Operation.
Yeah. And then the toad's left there trying to puff up and defend itself, and instead just splurting its insides out through its hole.
I'm seeing a future House of Works article, maybe sort of something like the five unexpected fates of toads, because we've also talked about frogs raining from the sky because of water spouts out in the ocean, these sort of tornadoes in the water.
Yeah, outside of a scientific understanding of the world and a skeptical approach to weird happenings, you would easily think that the toad is like ground zero for the supernatural. Like
sure.
Something weird happens, they're going to rain from the sky, they're going to swell up and explode.
Witches!
Witches, yeah, playing with our toads, as always.
Better than our toes.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So let's, you know, we got a few minutes here. Let's call the robot over then and indeed do a couple of listener mails. All right. This one comes to us from Larry. Larry says, I was listening to your episode on the weight of the soul, and I just wanted to make a comment. Now, Professor Gary Nam's theory is completely logical if you just have an open mind for a minute. That takes us to the heart of my comment. It seems that you guys may be letting your views, which seem to be more atheistic and agnostic, get in the way of looking at this logically. Whether or not your soul goes on to anything after this is beside the point. The point being that what you call a soul, now don't get it caught up in the name, being a religious reference, is just the collection of energy that makes up life. Now, having that in mind, Professor Nam makes all the sense in the world. Thanks, guys. I love the show, and I will always listen. Indeed, that's, you know, Gary Nam's research I did find really fascinating because he kind of, again, the difficulty of approaching the idea of the soul and trying to study it or theorize about it scientifically. He overcomes that to a certain extent, at least in the theoretical phase. And I do buy a lot of what he's putting out there. He kind of loses me the more he gets into black holes. But I like the general approach.
I see it as a brilliant thought experiment.
Yeah.
But again, the problem with it is the problem of science and the metaphysical, which is very difficult to get actual data. And therein lies the crux of the problem.
Exactly. All right. Here's another one. This one comes to us from Dave. Dave says, you probably don't have time to reply or maybe even read this in its entirety. Well, we're about to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I thought I should send you both a message just to let you know how much I love your podcast. I've been an avid podcast listener for a few years now when I stumbled across yours. Until then, I've been listening to SGU and The Reality Check. When I started listening to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, I was impressed with the format of the show, and the sharing of science was done in a fun, never belittling way. I really enjoy the rapport between the both of you and look forward to my time so I can listen to a few Stuff to Blow Your Mind episodes. I'm currently going through your backlog, and I'm about halfway through, a little more, The Seven Deadlies. Anyway, I just felt compelled to drop you this message and let you know that I really enjoy and appreciate the show and wanted to thank you both and everyone else involved for putting together such a great show on a regular basis. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. That's very nice. And Seven Deadlies, one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was a really fun series to do. And would really like to maybe re-explore that material in the future, maybe in video form. Who knows?
Yeah. And also, I want to take this opportunity to tip my hat to our producer, Noel Brown, too, who puts us together every week and gets this out to you guys.
Indeed. We couldn't do it without Noel.
Indeed.
All right. Hey, in the meantime, you know where to go. Go to stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's where you'll find all of our podcast episodes, videos, blog posts. And be sure to check out the landing page for this episode if you want to find links to other great content, including that How Stuff Works article by Tracy Wilson.
And if you have exploding thoughts you'd like to share with us, you can do so by emailing us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Huh? Oh! Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.